Okay, welcome back to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. My name's Dave, and if you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Kate Rayon-Blue. And we've been talking about cognitive health, and in the first segment, we talked about EFAs, or essential fatty acids, and didn't quite get it all covered, so let's pick up there again, Dr. Kate. Now, your sources of omega acids come from flaxseed, fish, and borage.
Yes, that's right. So the flaxseed and the fish oil provide different types of the omega-3 fatty acids, both short and long chain. The long chain ones are kind of pre-converted instant brain food, if you will. That's the DHA and the EPA that have been shown to be important for brain health, memory, cognition, these kinds of things. The flax is from non-GMO flax seeds that provide the ALA. So this is a shorter form of omega-3 essential fatty acid that the body can convert into longer chain forms or use for other reasons. Good for hormonal balance, for example, and other aspects of health.
And now we talk about essential and non-essential. What's the differences there?
Well, essential fats are ones that we absolutely need to get into our diet because we cannot make them from any other building blocks, for example, that we may have in our diet.
So we have to consume them.
We absolutely have to consume them, yes, because the body can't make them. That's what the term essential means versus non-essential.
And there's also certain ratios that as we consume these omegas, that especially your 6 and 3 omega, right?
That's right. So the ratio of omega-3 to omega-6, you know, we're talking about cognitive function, has actually been shown to influence brain cell signal transmission, so how quickly and efficiently our brain cells communicate with one another, as well as helping to reduce inflammation. That's some of the key factors here. Generally, the omega-3s are more challenging to get, and you want more of those in your diet. You want a 2-to-1 or a 1-to-1 ratio of the omega-3 to omega-6, and that's where the supplements come in because it can be very challenging to do that just through your diet alone unless you're spending a lot of time, say, sourcing grass-fed foods and making sure that you're eating a lot of fish. And those are all good things to do, but not everybody can achieve that on a daily basis.
Especially with modern diets, sometimes those ratios are anywhere from 10-to-1 to 30-to-1.
Oh, yes. I mean, the modern diet has been shown, and especially the grain-fed animal foods, really, really pushes up the omega-6s, which are so easy to get in the diet, and pushes down the omega-3s. But, you know, when we talk about, say, a supplement, you're looking at special types of omega-6s that are beneficial that you may not get on a daily basis, like, you know, from borage oil.
And what is borage?
Borage is a flowering plant that also produces a seed that can, from which you can extract an oil, sort of like flax, but it provides a different profile of helpful fats.
So that's the star flower that they call about.
Yes.
They call. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that's we've covered that pretty well for the moment. How about curcumin? How does curcumin help cognitive health?
This is really, really interesting. So curcumin is the active ingredient from the herb turmeric. This is sort of an orange-colored herb that's used in Indian traditional cuisine, yellow curries and things like that, and some types of mustard. And curcumin, there's been a lot of scientific interest around this herbal ingredient in the last couple decades. And curcumin has at least 10 known neuroprotective actions. In other words, it's helpful for our brain in at least 10 different ways. It is an excellent anti-inflammatory. That's probably how it's best known. It's a great antioxidant. It's a heavy metal chelator, helps our body to help us remove toxins. It has an anti-protein aggregate action. So we were speaking earlier, Dave, about Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's, for example, which are characterized by these little brain protein deposits, the amyloid beta peptide. And curcumin has been shown in a number of studies, laboratory and animal studies, to help remove and reverse those brain protein deposits. So that's really interesting. There's honestly so many interesting studies coming out about curcumin, you know, every month in the journals.
So it's anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, which combats free radicals, mm-hmm. antimicrobial.
Yes.
And I read a statement saying that it regulates the pathways linked to inflammation and referred to transcription factors and cytokines, which is proteins as well, right?
Yes.
What's happening there?
Well, this is very interesting. So curcumin is best known as an anti-inflammatory. So people who are looking for curcumin are often doing so because they're looking to manage some sort of painful condition, some kind of itis, arthritis, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And what's interesting about curcumin is most anti-inflammatories work by targeting one or two different inflammatory mediators, or compounds in the body that cause inflammation. But curcumin somehow has an ability to target all the compounds. In other words, at the very start of the pathway that leads to inflammation, curcumin kind of acts there, which makes it a very broad-spectrum anti-inflammatory that works on many, many different levels.
Well, broad spectrum is a good word for that then.
It is, yeah. It's fascinating the way it works in this way. You don't see anything like that, for example, in the pharmaceutical world.
Because they talk about NSAIDs, mm-hmm. the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs.
That's right.
So this is a good compensation for that.
Yeah, and NSAIDs are things like ibuprofen, and they are known to have anti-inflammatory effects. But again, they tend to work on one or two different compounds in the body, and curcumin has a more broad spectrum action, as we were saying before. And right, many people turn to curcumin as a natural pain reliever.
Now, what I found impressive too was the new science that I want to preface this by saying we don't often endorse one specific product, but I'm going to make an exception here. You guys have come up with this major scientific breakthrough with your product.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because there is still a lot of confusion around curcumin or many companies making claims about this or that. And people are reading about all kinds of interesting benefits that are coming out of the research. And yet, you know, if you go to a store and you see lots of different curcumin products on the market or on the shelves, there is a big difference between them, and the benefits you get can vary widely. Ultimately, what's very important with curcumin is how much of it you can absorb. Curcumin on its own is not very easily absorbed. So it needs to be modified a little bit to improve absorption. So Ferrocurmin is the brand name of curcumin in this product called Curcumin Rich. And that's a form of curcumin that has been, essentially the particles have been made very, very small. And so that vastly increases the absorption. And so, you know, the clinical trials now, the current clinical trials on curcumin for all kinds of health benefits are essentially using this form, which is a very reduced particle form, because you get consistent results with it.
Yeah, so it's been reduced 100 times molecular at the molecular level,
mm-hmm.
300 times more bioavailable or more absorbable.
Yes.
So it gets into the system faster and it lasts longer, according to all the studies I've been reading.
That's right. And it makes a marked difference in the action. And, you know, in a way, easy to see if you were to take standard curcumin or just about any other curcumin product and sprinkle it on a glass of water, you'd see it would just sit there.
Because it just floats.
Surface tension. Yeah. And then with the curcumin, you open it up. First it sits there, and then you eventually see the little particles drifting in between the water molecules because the particles are so small, they will just squeeze their way in between there. And that sort of is a demonstration of the difference in the particle size.
And it's also helpful. We talked about curcumin having its antioxidant properties. So it also stimulates the production of glutathione.
It does, yes. Now, the glutathione is the body's major antioxidant system. And it
produces its own, right?
That's right. So this will happen in the liver, that the body will produce this major antioxidant. Interesting thing about curcumin is that it has antioxidant properties in both water and fat-soluble tissues. And that is interesting because most antioxidants work in one area or the other, and this one somehow can do both.
Okay. I've read also that it helps to inhibit nitrosamines.
Oh, yes.
Explain what a nitrosamine is.
Well, when people are concerned about eating foods that have been preserved with nitrates, cold cuts and things like this, that's because those preservatives are converted into a potentially harmful substance in the gut, nitrosamine, which has been implicated in stomach cancer and a number of other areas. But again, part of its antioxidant action and detoxification action, curcumin seems to be helpful in protecting us against the formation of that harmful compound.
And that compound, so it is found in foods, and it's found also in cosmetics, pesticides, latex, rubber.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's all around us, isn't it?
Well, and that's just one of the many chemicals that are all around us. Because of our environmental exposure, whatever we can do to help our liver detoxify, to help protect us against the free radical damage, for example, of these compounds is a good thing.
Well, the chronic and acute degenerative disorders, how does curcumin help there?
Well, there's so many of them, and there's different mechanisms depending on which condition you're looking at. Because of its anti-inflammatory actions, it can help minimize joint destruction with conditions like arthritis. When you look at degenerative conditions that are more along the neurological front, then this is again where the neuroprotective actions we've been talking about happen, and the brain benefits, again, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant. It often comes back to this anti-inflammatory action is beneficial with so many chronic illnesses.
So, Dr. Kate, we're just about the end of our show here. And so keeping our brains and our minds healthy, any final thoughts in the last few seconds here?
For people to know that they can be proactive about their brain health, just as they might be about cardiovascular or any other form of their health, and studies support, keeping your brain active, keeping your body active, and feeding your brain with the right nutrients.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for being with us today on Insights for Health and fitting us into your already full schedule.
You're welcome, Dave. Thanks for having me.
And you're going to be back, though, next month with us, right?
Absolutely.
September 12th at 7:30. And do you know what you're going to be discussing at that time?
Well, I think cognitive health is a good topic. There's still lots more to say.
Maybe we can touch on the B12 and the PQQ.
Sure, sounds good.
So it's been great having you, and thanks again.
You too, Dave. Take care.
Yep, likewise. And as always, all the products and the supplements mentioned today can be found at The Healthy Habit since 1992 at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. You can visit our website at www.thehealthyhabitchatham.com for contact information, store hours, brands we carry, and our What's New page for helpful insights to maintain and improve your health, and also our radio show page where you can hear again this presentation and any previous shows, and that's at thehealthyhabitchatham.com. So thank you for listening to Insights for Health from The Healthy Habit, where we help you help yourself live healthy, live wise, live strong to your fullest potential, one step at a time.